Welcome to the Wander Learn Show. I'm your host, Francis Tapon. In this episode, I have Glenn Van Pesky, the founder of Gossamer Gear, the backpacking company that makes amazingly lightweight gear. He and I talk about his new book, Take Less, Do More, which is a fabulous, fabulous book. And in fact, today is the virtual launch party. You can go to the description and find out the link that you need to use to register to attend this launch party, this book launch, which you should definitely check out. It's happening today, so make sure you check that out and enjoy the interview. We talk about a lot of subjects. It's going to be a multi-part interview, so you're going to see a few more episodes about him. We start off the book about, I love the beginning of this whole thing where we talk about his life viewed in two different lenses, two different perspectives. It's fascinating. Enjoy this wide-ranging interview with Glenn Van Pesky. Welcome to the Wander Learn Show. I'm your host, Francis Tapon. I'm here with Glenn Van Pesky. He's the founder of Gossamer Gear. You can go to glennvanpesky.com. Today, he's going to be launching a virtual launch of his new book that just came out. And today is the day when you want to check it out at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Glenn, tell us a little bit more about the virtual launch party for your book and give us the name of the book, etc.
The name of the book is Take Less, Do More. Surprising life lessons in generosity, gratitude, and curiosity from an ultralight backpacker. And it's been a two-year process, but today, April 16th, it's finally available if all the people that have pre-ordered are going to have it show up in their mailbox.
Awesome. And so people are going to be able to follow a link in the description to go directly to your virtual launch party. It's free. Anybody can attend, right? As long as they have the link.
Yes, it's open to the public. You do have to register. Okay. So you have to register beforehand.
Okay. Well, do it today because today's the day. So, Glenn, I want to, the way to introduce you, I think it will be an interesting way is for you to jump toward the end of your book and read two descriptions of your life as you describe them. One is one angle, using it through one lens, and the other one is totally different. So go ahead, pull out your book, and I think it's page 221, and read to the audience that section, please. And again, it's about your life.
Okay, here's the truth. I can tell two very different stories about my life, and both are completely accurate. This is the hardship story. I was a nervous, anxious kid. When my parents divorced in the middle of my fourth grade year, I was distraught. I cried so much that my parents had to move me into another room so my crying wouldn't keep my brother and sister awake. We left sunny Southern California with our mom to drive across the entire country in the middle of winter and ended up in an apartment in Amherst, Massachusetts. I had to start a new school where I knew no one. When I joined Boy Scouts, I was sexually molested. And then when my mom took me for psychological counseling, that psychologist also abused me. I was not popular in school, didn't have many friends. After high school, I moved to California, where I married Francie. When she was pregnant with our second child, I almost died in a plane crash that killed the pilot. Then Derek, our second son, was born severely disabled, and the cost for medical insurance on my fledgling company went from $600 a month to $8,000. Then the economy tanked, and my business went with it. I worked for a year with no pay and had to take out a second mortgage on the house to pay our staff until I was finally forced to shutter the business. Meanwhile, Francie's depression, brought on by Derek's struggles, spiraled out of control, all while I was working 80-plus hours a week to keep the financial wheels on.
Wow, you're a real loser. That's what somebody would sound like. If you read that, it's like, my God, Glenn, you've had such a tough life. Now, let's read the next part. Right after that.
These stories are both true. It's just different lenses. This is the happiness version. I was a nervous, anxious kid. I was raised by intelligent, loving, and involved parents who instilled good values and morals in me. When they divorced and my mother moved us across the country, thanks to family money, she was able to continue caring full-time for us kids. We had amazing educational opportunities and lacked for nothing. Boy Scouts fostered in me a love of the outdoors that led to incredible successes later in life. In high school, I was tri-captain of the lacrosse team and president of the outing club before I organized a 4,200-mile bicycle trip across the United States with three friends. Taking 2 years off school, I worked at an engineering firm and found my passion for civil engineering, which set me on my future career course. I graduated in 4 years, summa cum laude, and moved to San Diego with an amazing woman I met at my apartment complex and somehow convinced to marry me. I worked for local firms before starting out on my own and always had enough work. I used not just my engineering skills, but marketing skills to build my company. When the economy tanked, I was able to find jobs elsewhere for all my employees before shuttering the business and going to work for another firm. The birth of our disabled son, Derek, brought me to Jesus, a huge turning point and strength in my life. Because of my involvement with Boy Scouts as a leader and giving back to my community, I started a backpacking company on the side. That turned into a multi-million dollar business. Though I've never taken a salary from the company I formed, it gave me relationships all over the world with amazing people. Guinness World Record holders, National Geographic explorers, renowned endurance athletes, A-list directors and actors, all of whom I count as friends. Today, Francie and I have control over our time and money and enjoy amazing freedom. We live in a custom house in a location we chose with scores of genuine friends as neighbors. What an amazing life.
It really is. And Glenn, I love that you shared this personal story. I mean, on both ends, both the successes. It's obviously harder since we have a rah-rah society to share the tough parts. But what I think was so poignant, and obviously the big takeaway of all this, is that we can all play this game. We can all take our life and look at it in a negative light, and we can look at it in a positive light. We can count our blessings or we can count our sorrows. And in the end, it's us to choose where we want to focus. And I think you just did so brilliantly in that section of the book, is just say, you're the same person, and yet come out with completely different storylines. And in the end, it's the stories that we tell ourselves. And I think that is one of the most valuable lessons in this book, even though, of course, maybe nobody picks it up for that reason.
What you say is true. The stories we tell ourselves have huge impacts overall about our life in general and our past. But you can slice it down to the micro day-to-day stuff. The other day, Francie and I were going in the car to do some errands, and we're going down the usual road that I take to get east from my house, and there's traffic, and I don't sit well, so I'm, you know, looking for an alternate route. So I, you know, take a left and go up to the parallel road, and it's closed for construction. And all of a sudden I knew, oh, that's why there was so much traffic on the main road. And now I've just lost my place. Like, if I was frustrated before, now I'm really screwed because I don't even have a place in that line. And I was getting frustrated. And then I thought, whoa. Let's tell a different story here. It's like, I'm retired. I have no deadlines. I'm in a car at a perfect temperature. I got my hands on a heated steering wheel. I got this beautiful woman sitting next to me who, for some reason, thinks it'd be fun to spend a few hours with me this afternoon. I was like, let's just enjoy the ride. You know, it's like, it's so easy for me anyway, to get caught up in the bad things going on. It's like, whoa, let's just take a minute and think about this a little differently.
Yeah. And reframing, like you say, you can reframe macro events like your childhood, or you can reframe micro events like getting stuck in traffic. Everything can be reframed, and it's a simple concept, but hard to execute. What can you do? What techniques can somebody do to help reframe that? I mean, the same thing, by the way, your book is about backpacking at a basic level. And so in backpacking, you can be stuck with mosquitoes and bugs and hot temperatures and cold temperatures, lack of water, lack of food, long resupplies, an aching knee, whatever. And how do you then reframe those kind of trying situations? Any techniques that you would give to people?
Well, something valuable I found was in a post by David Epstein. And he was talking about happiness is a 2x2 matrix. And he talks about looking at things you want and don't want, and things you have and don't have. And a lot of us focus on the things we want, but we don't have. And our society is kind of geared that way because that's how they can sell us stuff. But he says, one aspect is looking at what you have that you want. And that's useful. But he says, a very powerful tool that most people don't think about is considering the things you don't have that you don't want. So in other words, you know, we focus on stuff we don't have that we want, but it's like, there's huge amounts of things that we take for granted aren't happening to us. And whether it's you know, health or time or conveniences or luxuries or, you know, the fact that our belly is full. I mean, we just assume that, but hey, there's plenty of people in much of the world right now where that is not a given. And, you know, we don't have that hunger, and we forget to appreciate things that we don't have, that we don't want.
So how can you, what would you tell somebody who says, yeah, great idea, Glenn, but how the hell do I do that? When you're stuck in the moment, sometimes it's really hard to get out of that moment and reframe things. And sometimes for some people, they can't reframe things on a macro level either. I mean, they're like said, you know, my 20s sucked, and that's just the way I view my 20s.
It could be worse. It's kind of like that's the mantra that I use to kind of reframe. It could be worse. You know, it's only 4 words, but it's like, it could be worse. I have a hiking buddy, Reed Miller, and he says, Glenn, I always like hiking with you because no matter what the conditions are, you will always say like, well, it could be worse. You know, if it's like, if it's uphill, he says, well, it could be raining. If it's uphill and rainy, you say, well, it could be windy. You know, if it's uphill, rainy, windy, it's like, well, it could be snowing. You know, it's like it can always be worse. Right. And so there's always something to be grateful for. And I think in this day and age with so much media and exposure, it's not hard to find, especially if you live in America, people that have it worse off than you. And so, you know, you think like life is hard because you're stuck in traffic. It's like, well, do you want to trade places with the guy sitting in a bombed out building in Gaza right now? Or
right.
Pick, you know, 90% of the people living in Africa, or for that right. matter, anywhere else in the world. It's like, right. you want to trade places with them? Like, they would love to sit in traffic. That would be right. like their best life ever. So yeah, it could be worse. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, I mean, there's that great movie, Life is Beautiful. And again, he's trying to envision like making the best out of a Nazi concentration camp. If you can't make things like Viktor Frankl, like trying to find meaning even in that, I mean, then none of us have any excuses at that point.
Exactly.
Wonderful. So we'll take a quick break here. But before we go, I want you to remind people to go to the virtual launch party. The link is in the description below. It's going to be again at what time today?
It's going to be at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So it's U.S. Okay. Eastern time.
Good. So it's noon for the Pacific West Coast, for the West Coast, noon for the West Coast, 3 p.m. for the East Coast. And yeah. It'll be and tell us a little bit about what people will see when they go there.
It's going to be a lot
You'll
of fun.
You'll be giving a presentation?
This was not something initially that I really looked forward to, being an introvert. It's like, yeah, get on a virtual Zoom with 100 people. Yeah, that sounds right. like a lot of fun. but I'm actually warming to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some polls initially. We're going to have like a gift. There's going to be the moderator, the host is going to ask me some, you know, some questions, talk about parts of the book journey and things in the book. And then we're going to have some special guests who were kind of involved in the process to give their perspective on it. And then there'll be a, you know, chance for questions and some chatting at the end.
Excellent. Well, don't forget to register for it. Follow the link below. Register so that you can attend it. It'll be a great way to support Glenn and, of course, get the book, which is Take Less, Do More. Take Less, Do More by Glenn Van Pesky. And that ends this episode of the Wander Learn podcast, where we explore travel, technology, and transformation. If you'd like to see the show notes with links to what we've talked about, go to wanderlearn.com and click on this episode. If you'd like to connect with me, just remember F. Tapon. That's my first initial and my last name. FTapon is always my social media username. My website is ftapon.com. Do you want to leave me an anonymous voicemail where you can make a comment or ask a question? Then go to speakpipe.com/ftapon. Furthermore, if you'd like to get rewarded for supporting my projects, then go to patreon.com/ftapon. That's where you can pick up some remarkable rewards for as little as $2 a month. Now, 5 quick favors. Number 1, subscribe to the Wander Learn podcast. 2, download it. 3, share it. 4, review it. And 5, sign up for my newsletter at wanderlearn.com. Our theme music was composed by Eric Stratman. This is Francis Tapon, encouraging you to wander and learn.